In a world obsessed with charismatic, larger-than-life leaders, Bruno Martinuzzi introduces us to a refreshingly different leadership archetype, the Mensch. This German Yiddish term describes a person of integrity and honor whom others naturally want to follow. The concept resonated deeply with luminaries like Warren Buffett, who once famously remarked, "In looking for people to hire, look for three qualities: integrity, intelligence, and energy. And if they don't have the first, the other two will kill you." The book has become required reading at leadership programs at companies like Google, whose founders embody the Mensch qualities through their "Don't be evil" mantra. What makes this exploration of leadership particularly compelling is how it reframes leadership not as an exercise of authority, but as an example of ethical character, a perspective increasingly valued in our post-pandemic world where authenticity has become the new currency of influence. Martinuzzi brilliantly organizes her exploration of leadership qualities through the metaphor of a tree, with roots representing foundation qualities, the trunk showing visible leadership attributes, and branches demonstrating how leaders inspire others. This organic framework helps us understand how leadership qualities are interconnected and mutually reinforcing. The roots, humility, authenticity, and empathy, form the invisible foundation of leadership character. Just as a tree cannot thrive without healthy roots, a leader cannot sustain influence without these fundamental qualities. These qualities aren't immediately visible, but provide essential nourishment for everything that grows above. The trunk, accountability, optimism, and mastery, represents the most visible aspects of leadership. Like a tree's trunk that stands firm through changing seasons, these qualities provide stability and strength, allowing a leader to weather challenges while supporting growth. The branches, a leader's mood, generosity, and appreciation, show how leaders extend their influence to others. Just as branches reach outward to capture sunlight, these qualities allow leaders to connect with and nurture those around them. This metaphor isn't just elegant, it's practical. It reminds us that leadership development isn't about acquiring a random collection of skills, but about cultivating an integrated whole where each quality supports the others. When one area weakens, the entire system is affected. A leader might have strong accountability, trunk, but without empathy, roots, they risk creating a harsh environment that stifles growth rather than nurtures it. The tree metaphor also captures the organic nature of leadership development. It happens gradually, requires consistent nourishment, and changes with the seasons. Some qualities might be more prominent at certain times, but all are necessary for the overall health of leadership. Humility forms the bedrock of being a Mensch, yet it remains perhaps the most misunderstood leadership quality. Far from weakness, true humility combines modesty with fierce independence and inner strength. Jim Collins identified this quality in his research on Level 5 leaders, executives who direct their ego away from themselves toward larger goals, creating superb results while shunning personal adulation. Consider David Packard of Hewlett-Packard, who despite enormous success, drove an old car and lived in the same modest house he had built in 1957. Or Patrick Daniel of Enbridge, who consistently deflected praise to his team. These leaders demonstrate that humility isn't meekness, but rather a source of quiet, unassuming strength. The paradox of humility is that it actually enhances a leader's impact. When we encounter someone who maintains appropriate pride in their achievements without arrogance, we naturally want to follow them. They create psychological safety that allows teams to innovate without fear. Their open-mindedness and curiosity open windows to possibilities that ego-driven leaders might miss. Humility improves relationships because it signals respect for others' contributions. It reduces anxiety because humble leaders don't feel compelled to know everything or be perfect. Perhaps most surprisingly, it enhances self-confidence because it frees leaders from the exhausting performance of pretending to be flawless. How can we cultivate this foundational quality? Martinuzzi offers practical strategies. Step back and let others shine. Use the powerful phrase, "You are right," when appropriate. Avoid unsolicited coaching that can come across as condescending. Actively seek feedback on your leadership style. Share credit generously for successes. Expand your sphere of concern beyond personal interests. Ask more questions in conversations rather than dominating with statements. Allow others to complete tasks without taking over. Cultivate genuine curiosity about others' thoughts and aspirations. Focus on learning rather than blame when projects fail. And perhaps most importantly, hire people smarter than yourself, a practice that requires genuine humility but pays enormous dividends. What makes humility so powerful is that it creates space for others to grow while simultaneously strengthening the leader. As C.S. Lewis wisely noted, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself. This orientation toward others rather than self forms the essential foundation of mensch leadership. If humility forms the foundation, authenticity serves as the protective talisman of leadership. In a world where people have finely tuned detectors for fakery, authenticity has become non-negotiable for effective leadership. Bill George, former CEO of Medtronic, emphasizes that the one essential quality you must have to lead is to be your own person, authentic in every regard. What does authenticity look like in practice? A mensch embodies authenticity through candor and absence of artificiality. They don't set out to make impressions, they simply are. This quality stems from what psychologist Carl Rogers called the concept of I am enough, the mensch's sense of completeness and serenity of mind. Leaders who are mensches see themselves as complete human beings making unique contributions through their wisdom, ingenuity, and fierce loyalty. The power of authenticity lies in its ability to create trust. When followers sense that a leader is showing their true self, vulnerabilities included, they reciprocate with loyalty and commitment. Authentic leaders don't waste energy maintaining facades or worrying about being found out. This energy conservation allows them to focus fully on the mission and the people they lead. Developing authenticity requires courage. It means using simple, direct language instead of hiding behind corporate jargon. It requires addressing neglected issues before they return with force. For many leaders, exploring new communication methods like blogging can help them find their authentic voice. When living in disharmony between identity and actions, authentic leaders reconnect with their core passions and values. Kevin Cashman's Leadership from the Inside Out provides a framework for this exploration through fundamental questions about identity and purpose. For emerging leaders, developing self-reliance through progressively making independent decisions builds the confidence to be authentic. Perhaps most importantly, authentic leaders develop what Martinuzzi calls a noble goal, a compelling statement of purpose beyond a mission statement that helps evaluate daily choices. The paradox of authenticity is that while it seems simple, just be yourself, it often requires the most difficult work of leadership, honest self-reflection, willingness to acknowledge limitations, and courage to stand by one's convictions even when unpopular. Yet this work pays extraordinary dividends in creating the trust that makes all other leadership functions possible. Maya Angelou captured the essence of empathy when she wrote, "People will forget what you said. People will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel." This profound insight illuminates why empathy forms the third essential root of mensch leadership. While leaders can't make everyone like them, which Colin Powell calls a sign of mediocrity, they can control how others feel about themselves during interactions. A mensch possesses what Martinuzzi calls social generosity, making others feel respected and valued regardless of their position. This quality creates psychological safety that allows people to bring their full talents to work. The neurological basis for empathy lies in mirror neurons, dubbed Gandhi's neurons by neuroscientist V.S. Ramachandran, which activate when witnessing emotions in others. This biological mechanism explains why empathy isn't just nice to have, it's how we're wired to connect. studies consistently link empathy to business success, including increased sales and enhanced performance in diverse workforces. Daniel Goleman and Daniel Pink both emphasize empathy's critical importance in modern leadership. As work becomes more complex and interdependent, the ability to understand others' perspectives becomes not just a moral virtue, but a strategic necessity. Empathetic idealist leaders like Gandhi and Mary Robinson, former president of Ireland, demonstrate how this quality can transform not just organizations, but entire societies. How can leaders cultivate empathy? Martin Nutzi offers practical guidance. Truly listen without interruption. Understand nonverbal communication. Practice the 93% rule, recognizing that words account for only 7% of communication. Use people's names. Be fully present in conversations. Smile. Encourage quiet team members. Give specific, memorable praise. Show genuine interest in employees' lives. Spend time with subordinates in their workspace. Read the mood of groups. Be sensitive to diversity. Develop emotional intelligence. Hire empathetic people. Perhaps most importantly, remember the responsibility that comes with empathy, the ability to touch lives deeply. As leaders, our interactions leave imprints on others that can last a lifetime. When we approach these interactions with empathy, we create not just more effective organizations, but more humane ones. Moving from the roots to the trunk of the leadership tree, accountability represents the most visible and stable part of mensch leadership. Martin Nutzi compares it to the Hippocratic Oaths principle to do no harm, a fundamental commitment that shapes all other actions. True accountability goes far beyond meeting business targets. It extends to how leaders conduct themselves and the impact they have on others. Michael McCain, CEO of Maple Leaf Foods, demonstrated this during a foodborne illness outbreak when he stated clearly, "The buck stops right here." This unequivocal acceptance of responsibility, rather than deflection or blame shifting, exemplifies the mensch approach. While holding others accountability is important, leaders must first hold themselves accountable. The text acknowledges that leaders don't intentionally avoid accountability, but can slip in subtle ways. Transferring problem employees rather than making tough decisions, ignoring bad behavior from high performers, or failing to follow through on cost-cutting measures while making personal exceptions. These seemingly minor lapses gradually erode trust. Self-accountability means staying true to oneself despite difficult circumstances and owning the consequences of decisions. As a poem cited in the book states, "I am your choice and accountability." This recognition that we create our reality through our choices forms the backbone of accountable leadership. Practical strategies for strengthening accountability include conducting 360-degree assessments to understand how you're viewed by stakeholders, practicing daily reflection on conversations and actions, mentoring others to reinforce your own accountability, partnering with HR on difficult people issues, quickly admitting mistakes, taking responsibility for your own happiness, focusing on learning rather than blame when errors occur, honoring promises made during hiring, monitoring personal and professional goals, ensuring organizational values penetrate all levels, assigning clear ownership for ideas and meetings, helping team members set goals, and following through on action items from meetings. The principle to do no harm serves as a guiding star for accountable leadership, including recognizing when you lack competence for a task and either developing that competence or delegating appropriately. This humility about one's limitations, combined with fierce commitment to one's responsibilities, creates the stable trunk from which all other leadership qualities can branch. Optimism serves as what Martin Nutzi calls the leadership lantern, illuminating possibilities that pessimism might miss. Research shows that optimists draw strength from both external resilience sources, good health, social support, and internal ones, self-esteem, mature coping mechanisms. Dr. George Vyant's landmark Harvard study identified 5 mature coping mechanisms that predict successful aging. Altruism, helping others. Sublimation, channeling impulses into positive activities. Suppression, consciously setting aside problems. Humor, finding comic elements in difficulties. And anticipation, realistic planning for future challenges. These mechanisms don't deny reality, but transform how we respond to it. Optimists share specific traits. They seek partial solutions rather than perfect ones, mentally rehearse success, and believe their best is yet to come. Dr. Martin Seligman's groundbreaking research reveals that optimists view adversity as temporary, specific, and external, not permanent, pervasive, or personal. This explanatory style allows them to bounce back from setbacks more quickly. While pessimism offers benefits in risk assessment, what Martinuzzi calls defensive pessimism, optimism's advantages for mental health, achievement, and physical well-being are far greater. The author advocates for flexible optimism, wisely choosing when to apply optimistic versus pessimistic thinking based on the situation. Practical strategies for cultivating optimism include avoiding negative environments, focusing on strengths rather than weaknesses, taking Seligman's optimism test, reading inspirational material daily, and applying Seligman's ABCD model to dispute pessimistic thoughts. Adversity, beliefs, consequences, disputation, energization. Additional practices include reframing negative situations, shifting language from yes but to yes and, being mindful of meeting dynamics, encouraging quieter participants, questioning whether adversity is permanent, focusing outside oneself, cultivating spontaneity, teaching optimism to children, and recognizing optimism's health benefits. Leaders should nurture a culture of optimism and study common cognitive distortions that undermine positive thinking. The power of optimism lies not in denying reality, but in seeing possibilities within it. As Winston Churchill observed, a pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. An optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. This perspective doesn't just make leaders more pleasant to be around, it makes them more effective at navigating challenges and inspiring others to do the same. A Mensch leader's life is characterized by mastery and grace, particularly mastery of self rather than mere professional expertise. This quality manifests through what many call executive presence, a composed demeanor that inspires confidence in others. This presence emerges through candid communication, authentic expression, open-mindedness, and attentive listening that creates genuine connections. The resulting composure provides stability in relationships even during difficult times. People instinctively trust leaders who maintain their equilibrium when others are losing theirs. The pursuit of mastery should be approached with joy rather than hardship, as Dr. George Leonard suggests in his classic work on the subject. True mastery stems from genuine desire for the greater good rather than self-serving admiration. The path involves incorporating grace in every human transaction, which takes a lifetime to practice but becomes a way of life that achieves quality in leadership. To develop executive presence and relationship mastery, leaders should assess relationships that need attention, visualize daily how to incorporate goodwill in all interactions, create relationship action plans, avoid keeping score in relationships, understand the difference between conversations, personal explorations, and discussions, exchanges of facts, remember names and birthdays, represent their organization like an ambassador, communicate diplomatically rather than aggressively, become a master communicator through storytelling and metaphors, be conscious of listening well both in person and on phone calls, audit virtual communications for appropriate tone, stay informed about modern communication platforms, broaden worldviews through quality reading, practice leadership Aikido with its adaptability, flexibility, and partnership approach, establish feedback mechanisms, including the 3X rule for processing feedback, choose enlightenment over judgment, and cultivate agreeableness by not taking things personally. What distinguishes mastery from mere competence is the integration of technical skill with personal presence. A master leader doesn't just know what to do, but embodies how to be. This integration creates a seamless quality that others perceive as natural authority, not imposed from position, but emanating from character. Leaders must avoid fake cheerfulness while maintaining upbeat moods appropriate to circumstances, what Daniel Goleman calls dynamic resonance. Effective leaders display moods matching situations with optimism, hope, and humor mixed in, respecting others' feelings while modeling how to move forward positively. As Charles Schwab noted, "I consider my ability to arouse enthusiasm among men the greatest asset I possess." This insight recognizes that a leader's emotional state acts as a powerful contagion, spreading throughout the organization for better or worse. Leaders should reconsider dismissing emotions in the workplace, instead developing intuition to recognize how their moods affect others. Einstein wisely observed that the intuitive mind is a sacred gift and the rational mind is a faithful servant. This balance between emotional awareness and rational analysis creates leaders who can navigate the full spectrum of human experience. Leaders control the engagement intensity of their teams like movie directors, setting the mood for actors. An upbeat leadership mood literally oxygenates the organizational bloodstream, creating a positive atmosphere where people can excel. Mensch leaders set positive tones in meetings, look for good in others, accurately read organizational climate, and cultivate pleasant personalities. They become emotionally attractive through mindfulness, hope, and compassion, core qualities of what Goleman calls resonant leadership. During change initiatives, they manage emotions proactively rather than avoiding them. They promote responsibly, recognizing not everyone enjoys leading, and provide new leaders proper tools and support before problems arise. Effective leaders create what psychologist Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi calls flow by balancing skills with challenges, providing clear goals, and immediate feedback. They help staff develop stress-hardy personalities through the three C's: commitment, control, and challenge. To minimize stress, leaders should create stop-doing lists to eliminate energy drainers, focus on core business strengths, choose battles wisely, run efficient meetings using techniques like Edward de Bono's six thinking hats, prioritize important tasks before urgent ones, and master information synthesis to combat cognitive overload. The leader's mood serves as the emotional thermostat for the organization. By consciously managing this powerful influence, Mensch leaders create environments where people don't just perform, but thrive. Leadership generosity extends far beyond monetary gifts. Drawing from Ramban's Ladder, which outlines forms of giving from reluctant charity to helping others become self-reliant, true leadership generosity manifests in multiple dimensions. It means giving people opportunities to grow and shine. It means extending the benefit of the doubt when mistakes occur. It means providing compelling reasons to work for you beyond just a paycheck. It means sharing necessary information rather than hoarding it as power. It means granting authority along with responsibility. It means giving credit for ideas rather than claiming them as your own. It means allowing people permission to make mistakes and learn from them. This generosity of spirit represents a noble quality universally admired in leaders. It creates psychological abundance that inspires reciprocal commitment from followers. To enhance generosity of spirit, leaders should make people feel important, as research shows 55% of workers value this as the top trust-building factor. When giving criticism, ensure your motivation is genuine and delivered respectfully. Give people visibility by connecting them with senior executives and advocating for their contributions. Practice what Martin Nucci calls inside-out leadership by encouraging others and giving second chances to deserving individuals. follow the 80-20 rule in communication. Listen 80% of the time and speak 20%. Protect team members from idea theft. Practice reflective listening. Share knowledge generously. Support nervous presenters. Ensure equal social opportunities for all team members. And cultivate the habit of giving as a leadership strength. The paradox of generosity is that it enriches the giver as much as the receiver. Leaders who practice generosity create cultures of abundance rather than scarcity, where people contribute freely because they know their contributions will be recognized and valued. This virtuous cycle of giving and receiving forms the essence of sustainable leadership. Appreciative intelligence, coined by Dr. Tojo Thatchenkere, describes the ability to see positive potential in situations or people, the mighty oak in the acorn. This concept emerged from studying Silicon Valley's entrepreneurial growth in the 1990s, where venture capitalists asked, "How can I make this work?" rather than focusing on potential failure. Unlike appreciative inquiry, an organizational analysis methodology, appreciative intelligence is an individual mental ability for reframing situations positively. The leader as a mensch combines both, having appreciative intelligence while using an appreciative inquiry approach, creating a powerful force for positive change. Organizations where leaders practice this intelligence develop cultures that fuel employee motivation. As surveys consistently show, appreciation ranks higher than wages in what employees want. People leave companies due to lack of recognition and would work for less money if trust-building factors like importance, genuine care, gratitude, and fairness were present. To improve your appreciation skills, analyze why you might struggle with praising others, whether from fear of embarrassment or not knowing how. Make appreciation a priority despite time constraints, as it takes mere seconds to deliver meaningful recognition. Deliver praise promptly rather than waiting for performance reviews, and be specific rather than generic. When praising someone in person, don't dilute the moment by immediately discussing business matters. Aim for the magic ratio of 5-to-1 positive to negative interactions discovered by Nobel Prize winner Daniel Kahneman. Practice self-appreciation as the foundation for self-confidence and encourage others to appreciate themselves too by creating opportunities for them to shine at meetings, be heard in group settings, receive choice assignments with prestige, gain visibility in the company, and be well represented to upper management. Honor others by remembering the personal stories they share with you, as these represent an emotional investment on their part. This attention to personal narrative demonstrates that you value not just what people do, but who they are. Appreciation serves as the sunshine that allows the entire leadership tree to flourish. Without it, even the most technically competent leadership withers from emotional malnutrition. Thomas Carlyle said that a book's best effect is exciting readers to self-activity. For those already embodying mensch leadership, Martin Nutz's work serves as a gift to share with others who need it. For leaders who recognize the challenge of consistently being a mensch, she encourages taking one leaf at a time until it becomes natural. The path of mensch leadership isn't easy. It demands continuous self-reflection and growth. It requires vulnerability and courage. It means choosing the harder right over the easier wrong, consistently, even when no one is watching. Yet this path ultimately proves richly rewarding as you witness positive changes in your corner of the world and in those you lead. The mensch approach to leadership creates not just more effective organizations, but more humane ones, places where people can bring their full talents and humanity to work. In a world hungry for ethical leadership, the mensch model offers a compelling alternative to leadership approaches based on dominance or charisma alone. It reminds us that the most powerful leadership comes not from position or personality, but from character, from who we are rather than merely what we do. As we face increasingly complex challenges in our organizations and societies, the qualities of the Mensch – humility, authenticity, empathy, accountability, optimism, mastery, emotional intelligence, generosity, and appreciation – provide not just a framework for effective leadership, but a path toward more meaningful human connection. And in that connection lies the true purpose of leadership. Not just to accomplish tasks, but to elevate the human experience for all involved.